Colonel Rob Manis has a lifelong record of providing dedicated service to this nation. Having worked his way up from the enlisted ranks to full colonel, he served our country for more than 32 years. He has served as a bomber squadron commander, bomb disposal technician, Joint Chiefs of Staff Operations Officer, assisted the National Security Team with the campaign plan for the global war on terrorism. He authored the first theater nuclear war plan and served as the vice commander of America's largest airborne intelligence wing. Colonel Rob Manis is a true American hero. This is Rob Manis Live.
Say you become Minnesota's next U.S. Senator.
Yes.
Would you work across party lines to accomplish change?
There are no party lines anymore.
What do you mean by that?
There are no party lines. There are only patriots and nationalists and globalists. But there are no party lines.
But there are still senators from different party perspectives.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, for the theater.
So are you willing
There aren't a handful of America First, unbought and paid for United States senators in the entire United States Senate.
How about this? How would you collaborate with counterparts?
Tell the truth. I'm not collaborating with traitors. I'm not collaborating with, and some people would say, well, that makes you unqualified to run for the office. The prerequisite is that you have to become enmeshed in the corruption of the machine in order to be a viable candidate. And I think that's what's wrong with American political culture, is that we expect our candidates to sell out, but then we tell them not to.
Collaboration is selling out?
If the collaboration is to undermine the fabric of this country and the value of citizenship, for sure.
I'm thinking about, like, writing bills and, like...
Where do you think the selling out of this nation happens?
Okay, fair, fine. All right, I clearly you have issue with the system.
For sure.
Okay.
I have huge issues with the system. I have huge issues with omnibus bills. I have huge issues with the special interests and lobby money in D.C. I have a huge issue with the fact that it's a conventional prerequisite that a United States Senate candidate has to have pre-committed to a lobby, a special interest and lobby, to have any chance of raising the money necessary to win one of these campaigns. I object to all of that.
Friends, welcome back to the Rob Manis Show. It's Truth Thursday, and we're live on Worldview Tube and our X Spaces simulcast. Well, you just saw that clip. Royce White laid it out very plainly. There are no real party lines anymore. It's truth versus narrative. Loyalty to the Constitution versus loyalty to power. Patriot or non-patriot. That's it. Builder or destroyer. Truth teller or mouthpiece. That's the kind of straight talk this country has been starving for. And he's my guest today. He's exactly that fighter, Minnesota U.S. Senate candidate Royce White. Royce is a champion professional basketball player and an MMA fighter born in 91. He's named Minnesota Mr. Basketball. Started Iowa State University. My grandsons love that, by the way. And was selected 16th overall by the Houston Rockets in the 2012 NBA draft. Mr. White is active in advocacy issues, but he's also firmly entered the political arena. He won the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate in Minnesota in 2024. That says something. He's running again right now in 26, and because he refuses to play the broken two-party game. He's here to call out the fraud, no matter whose side it's on. Royce, welcome back to the show, sir. We're going to dig into a lot of issues today, including fraud stuff, Minnesota politics, and why the American people should be done with a system that puts power over truth.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, sir.
Well, I guess before we dive too far into specific issues, what's going on with the race? Give us an update real quick. I think we had you in the late winter.
My race is a microcosm of the broader political schism in American culture, which is you get a bunch of candidates that in some way or another all serve the same interest. Then you get this outsider candidate, like a President Trump in his first run, 2016, his second run, which I think he rightfully won in 2020 and certainly in 2024. Now people's criticism, you know, in this administration is a separate issue, in my opinion, but he certainly represented this outsider that was dismissed, you know, because he was too far from the political status quo. And in Minnesota, we have the exact same issue. If I went down the top four candidates, or, you know, the other four candidates on both sides of the aisle that are competitive. You got Peggy Flanagan, who's our current lieutenant governor. She helped oversee the fraud. She's a violent anti-ICE trans activist and jihadist. Mm. Okay, then you got Angie Craig, who's our current second congressional district representative. She is also anti-ICE and an AIPAC-funded lesbian. Okay. You move to the Republican side, you got Michelle Tafoya, who is a professional and veteran sideline reporter and script reader, professional script reader, never Trump, you know, pro-choice, pro, you know, amnesty, pro-red flag laws, also supported by AIPAC. And then you got Adam Schwarzy, former Navy man, who was a Nikki Haley Republican, served as her co-chair in 24. Also supports AIPAC and is, you know, casually laughs about killing women and children during his time downrange serving this country. I mean, I wake up some mornings, Rob, and I go, what is even this? What is even this, right?
It's freaking crazy. I'll just be honest about it, man.
Yeah,
you know,
super crazy.
I mean, I got to keep it family-friendly language-wise, or I'd say it the way I need to say it with folks, you know. Yeah. But it's just nuts. So Tafoya she's not really a Republican then. I mean, in the way we see it today, post Donald Trump being elected twice.
Well, it depends on what people say is Republican, and that, you know, that's the crisis we're going through. And part of my candidacy, Rob, is like, I look at it long range because I'm 35 years old. Let's hope we can, you know, save a Republican, keep it for my age to become relevant, right? Because we could certainly lose this country in the next 4 years, and nobody's age really matter much anymore. Mm-hmm. But if this is a long term fight, which it's safe to assume it will be, part of this is to litmus test our own side of the aisle and our own party and figure out what our real principles are. Not, I don't mean on paper. I mean spiritually. What are our real intrinsic values, principles, beliefs, and whatnot? And, you know, if the gamut now is you can be pro-choice as long as you're pro-Israel, as a Christian man, I fundamentally reject that. And so to the point about Michelle Tafoya, not only is she pro-choice, pro-amnesty, pro-red flag laws, but the Democrat candidate, Angie Craig, said, I mean, in the last 48 hours, Michelle Tafoya is the best candidate the Republicans have produced in a long time. Under normal circumstances, in a sane society, that would tell Republican voters everything they need to know. But for some reason, we measure ourselves against the criteria and standard of the communists, and that's what we have to deal with first. You cannot define yourself by your enemies. You have to respect your enemies, know your enemies. But if you define yourself by your enemies, pretty soon you become your own worst enemy. And I think that's what the Republican Party represents, the current Republican Party, as well as the broader American populace. We are effectively our own worst enemy.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. Look, the guy I ran against to keep him out of the Senate the first time just lost in a closed primary in Louisiana. He only got like 22% of the vote. We said that jungle primary produced leftist Republicans, and that's one of the things that happened. Bill Cassidy was a leftist Republican, still is. He's out there siding with the Democrats just today.
That's right.
Along with Ted Cruz, of all people, talking out of school about the Iran deal, which this president is not a pro-war president. Sometimes he does what he has to do, and I don't always agree with it. But once he does, gets in it, I support him, and he wants to end this because he's achieved his military objectives and he knows what's right for Americans.
Amen.
You know, and you got these crazy people like Bill Cassidy and Ted Cruz out there in our own party that are showing their butts, basically, because they have either an axe to grind or, more importantly, they really don't have the principles that we say we have in the Republican Party. And it's really simple to me, and I think maybe you even see it this way, Royce. It's simple to me. I go back to that Declaration of Independence. I read the history around it. I look at the Federalist Papers. I've read some of the debates in the state houses over the Constitution, the Constitutional Convention, and it's pretty simple to me. You're either with those things or you're against it. And Amen. If you're with those things, you're not going to have, you'll never have what just happened yesterday. And I wanted to get your take on this during the show, is that three Islamist communists, Mandami's team, swept Democrat primaries. I mean, Dan Goldman, as much as I don't like the guy, I mean, he's an entrenched establishment full of money, rich guy, Democrat. They beat him. They beat him and the other two highly entrenched incumbents. What is that saying about the Republicans that backed the policies that brought these people here?
Well, it says two things. We are betrayed and we are surrounded. And you and I both know if you're surrounded, there's only one play to make. You got to plow a line through that. You got to plow a line through that circle, and you got to get to a spot where you can regroup. And that's what we need to do right now in this country. The president, you know, individually is betrayed and surrounded. And we, as we the people described in the Declaration of Independence, are betrayed and surrounded by our own people, many of our own citizens. And we just got, we have tough choices ahead of us. Like for me, first day of the United States Senate, we're bringing a bill to federally ban Sharia law and Marxism nationwide. Now people will say, well, that conflicts with the First Amendment. In my opinion, the Constitution more or less guarantees you a Republican form of government. Both Marxism and Sharia law are an impediment to the fulfillment of a Republican form of government guarantee for our citizens. And even more so, you know, the Constitution was always meant to be amended. The proper argument with the left is not whether the Constitution is malleable. It's what are the priorities and what amendments should take place. And I think that's part of the argument that we get in with the communists that is foolhardy. We say, you know, the Constitution says this, and that's it. And a lot of conservatives have staked their position on that idea. It was always that the Constitution should be amended. The question is, what amendments should be made for the betterment and health, the well-being and prosperity of America? And if the idea is that we should, you know, natural birth citizenship, for example, from our national mortal enemy, China, for example, we should continue to let our Congress be subverted by special interests and lobby money, then those things we should object to. But you got to stand up and really object, right? And again, it's just like with Islam, this radical Islam mm-hmm. problem. Yeah. And it is a problem. I don't even think that we should let these people hold office.
Well, I think there's a law. There's actually a law on the books addressing the communism side of this that's not being enforced.
Exactly.
And you're right. Are these people even really truly qualified to hold office? Look, the Constitution is clear. It says you can't have a religious test. But there's nothing about your ideology in there. And I got to be honest with folks, fundamentally, Islam is a form of ideology and governance. Sharia law is law. It's not religion. Okay.
Yeah, political law.
We have to deal with that in this country. And we have to deal with it in a way, Royce, that allows us to plow through the surrounded circle. We've got to be able to do that. I think President Trump, God bless him, I got to take a break here in a second, but President Trump is really starting to push back on the U.S. Senate now and taking some aggressive stances, even on bills that we voted for him to, you know, help improve the housing situation. I think he said, hey, I'm not signing it, even though everybody likes it, until you give me the Save America Act, because he knows that that's part of the breaking that circle of being surrounded, that Amen. Save America Act's got to be done in order for us to even have a fighting chance. We got to take a break. I'll be right back. We'll see more clips about fraud and those kind of things, but that's not the only subject we're going to talk about today. We got a man from Minnesota that's running for office in Minnesota, but also has the big picture for the United States of America. We're going to take advantage of that. We'll be right back with Royce White.
At a certain age, you stop chasing younger. You start protecting what helps you feel steady, strong, and well. Your body's collagen matters. It supports the structure of your skin, joints, and connective tissue. But as the years go by, your body needs more support from the inside. That's where Bella Grace Elixir comes in. Bella Grace Elixir combines Verisol Collagen, the world's most clinically proven collagen, with Astereal Astaxanthin and Cat's Claw in a proprietary blend designed to help support the processes that reconstruct collagen, while also offering antioxidant and anti-inflammatory effects. And this isn't just for women. It's for men and women who want to age with more confidence, more care, and a daily wellness routine that supports the body from within. One simple elixir, thoughtfully formulated for whole body wellness. Take care of the body that has carried you this far. Order Bella Grace Elixir today at melissahousebg.com.
So here the frauds are now. House Oversight just came out with a report that said that Tim Walz was warned repeatedly that there was fraud, and he kept the money flowing because he didn't want to be called racist. That sounds like a crime to me. Is that a crime?
Well, I'm going to let the law determine what's a crime and what's not. We're certainly going to investigate this, Jesse, and I guess now I can make a bit of breaking news because I left the White House to come here to do this interview with you. And before I did, we actually referred this particular case to the Department of Justice for a full criminal investigation. We are not going to do what the Biden administration did and make judgments of the law before all the facts are in. But here's what's particularly troubling about this to me is Jesse, you had people within Governor Walz's office who were saying, you know what, this looks like fraud. It looks like these Somalian illegal immigrants are doing something that's very shady. And then you had people who shut them down, who shut these whistleblowers down and said, you know, you're a racist or you're a xenophobe for asking questions about where taxpayer money is going. What that means to me, Jesse, is that clearly people weren't taking fraud seriously. Whether it rises to the level of a criminal violation, we're going to investigate it. And of course, if it does rise to that level, we're going to prosecute it. We have to.
Yeah. We have to prosecute it. We have to prosecute the fraud, folks. We have to dig it out and find it and prosecute it. Because if we don't, that money, guess where it's making its way to? Terrorist countries like Somalia, okay? Terrorist countries like Iran. But that's not the worst part. Corrupt politicians in our own sphere. That's where that money is making its way back to that. My guest today is Royce White. He's the U.S. Senate candidate in 2026 here. Again, was the nominee in 2024 for U.S. Senate for the Republican Party. Royce, fraud and the word Minnesota, we have to talk about it. But you know, I think Vance is on the right track there. You know, we don't make prejudgments before the law, but they refer it to the DOJ. But, man, it seems to be taking a long time. What's the perspective of folks in Minnesota that you're talking to on this?
Scary proposition. I think as far as the, you know, as far as the everyday Minnesota resident, I think the political polarity is so bad. There are a lot of Democrats in the state that would accept the fraud that has taken place under the Democrats in exchange for a single issue like unfettered, unlimited illegal immigration or the right to kill your own unborn child, as sad and tragic and unfortunate as that may be. And I just say that not to, you know, not as hyperbole or to, you know, to be sensational. I really do mean, and I think J.D. Vance is a great vice president because he speaks in legalese, and a part of backing up the commander in chief, in my opinion, the rightful way to back up the commander in chief is that you have somebody well versed in legalese who can talk to things with that legal authority. And J.D., nobody's better than J.D. at that. But we're at a moment in this nation's history where, with all due respect to JD and even the president, I'm just a little bit more radical in that I think you take a place like Minnesota. I've lived here my whole life, 35 years, born and raised. Mm-hmm. And to see what this state has become over that 35 years is nothing short of unacceptable. At the very least, it's unacceptable. But all problems in our nation are supposed to be solved through the will of the people. Now, it brings you to a very fundamental question. What happens when the overwhelming majority will of the people is corrupt or aimed in the wrong direction? what is it incumbent upon a commander-in-chief or other patriots to do when, for example, in Minnesota, Democrats are essentially saying the Democrat representatives, the Tim Walz's of the world, could have engaged in as much fraud as possible, as much fraud as, what's the number? Doesn't matter, 50 million, 100 million, a trillion. No number would be too much for us to still vote Democrat because we're interested in our global mass migration philosophy, or the right to choose, a woman's right to choose. At that time, when things have gotten that out of touch from reality, the state of Minnesota should be federalized.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the Constitution itself, it says that the federal government, one of its responsibilities, I believe, the executive branch, is to guarantee a Republican form of government.
Yes.
To each state. And when a government is overcome by corruption the way it is, it's no longer a Republican form of representative government, is it?
Absolutely. 100%. Well, we're not even willing to go there. That's why I appreciate what you were saying before I got on the show. Was like, Mr. I Can't is dead, or at least he should be. And I still think we're interested in playing this game. I genuinely worry these days about the time horizon here, because in my opinion, if we give the government back in the midterms and then, God forbid, in 28, because of this manufactured consent, President Trump's a failure, Republicans are racist, they're bigots, they want women to die from not getting the proper health care, or transgenders to commit suicide because they won't cut their genitals off. If we lose the government to these maniacs, I don't think we'll ever get it back again. And, you know, if President Trump and the rest of his administration have a different theory, then fine, by all means, they're in a position to make that call. But if I was advising the president, I would tell him, in all seriousness, sir, you've done everything you can. You've tried your best to negotiate with these people, to reason with these people, to try and speak from a place of common sense and basic national interest. We've tried everything we can. We can no longer leave it to chance. And, you know, your Rachel Maddows of the world are going to cry and kick and scream and say, oh, they're fascists. You know, Antifa, get the gay flags. You know, they're fascists. Yeah. No. National security will never let in another 20 million foreign invaders the way they did. And we do not believe in mutilating our children or any ideology that condones it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if you saw it this morning, but with the Mondami win, the National Republican Congressional Committee, and like the NRSC is for the Senate, it's the incumbent protection program, is what I call it. The NRCC is the Congressional Incumbent Protection Program. They sent funeral flowers to Hakeem Jeffries' office door because his candidates, you know, his incumbents lost to Islamist commies. That's the NRCC, the Republican leaders that keep the Congress Republican as part of their mission. And they don't, what struck me with that is, and I tweeted about it, is that they obviously don't see what time it is from a danger perspective.
Right.
These are the guys that really control which Republicans have what in Congress. Besides Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House. Now, Mike, to his credit, went on the air and had a press conference saying, no, this is very serious. But it's his people. He controls the NRCC. He controls those guys. All right? It's run, I'm sure, by one of his trusted congressmen and everything. But that just tells me that the people in Washington and the people in the halls of power that are getting there, most of them don't get what time it is.
Or, you know, and we've talked about this before, I think, on the show, you do have a very prevalent neoconservative and ideologically Trotskyite faction of the Republican Party. And again, to go back to Michelle Tafoya, it's such a microcosm, right? When Angie Craig, the Democrat candidate in our second congressional district representative currently, says that Michelle Tafoya is the best candidate Republicans have produced in a long time, she's essentially saying Michelle Tafoya is a Democrat. Because in her mind, but this is the Overton window of the whole country. Mm-hmm. And we've played into this to our own detriment and maybe, hopefully not, to our demise. Is this idea that, Rob, I don't mean to belabor the point, but I'm writing a book right now called The Four Heresies of the West. And in my opinion, the four heresies were the scientific method, democracy, computer technology, and the last one will be artificial intelligence. But the democracy, the heresy of democracy is that all majorities are made equal and righteous. And we have this strange obsession with majorities. And it's not that all things fair, a majority is a great way to come to a consensus. But when things break from reality the way that they have in our country and in our culture, majorities are no longer safe. But Republicans, I don't think a widespread amount of Republicans really believe that. And that's the fight we're having in the Republican Party right now. It's like, well, if the Overton window has been shifted all the way out to left field, and we capitulate or pander to the moderate middle that is now located somewhere on the loony liberal left, you know, because you got your far out there progressives that say no borders. And then you got your still loony left that says, we want a border, but these 20 million that are already here, let's tax them instead of deport them. That's the loony liberal left to me. So if you want to pander to the middle or the moderates or the independents on that Overton window, you end up on the left. This is basic politics. And I think a lot of people still believe in those politics and say, well, you know, Mitt Romney is the best we can hope for. Okay, but that's how we got here.
Yeah, I totally agree. And they're wrong. The interesting thing is that, and it's more than interesting, it's frustrating, is that the people that still believe that, they were wrong on Mitt Romney when he was running for president with Paul Ryan on both those guys, and they're wrong today. Donald Trump is living proof that they're wrong, but we haven't been able to make inroads in the legislatures, especially at the federal level, to eliminate this view that, well, we got to be the squish party and go along with the center, which keeps moving to the left, you know? And now you have the NRCC people thinking it's funny that Hakeem Jeffries lost to three Islamist communists and is now paying the price for the policies that he's supported with all this immigration, whether legal or illegal, doesn't really matter at this point. Once you've gotten them to where you've got enough people where they can reliably defeat an establishment Democrat set of incumbents for congressional seats all in one swath, we're in big trouble, man.
Well, you know, and again, we're not even working from the same reality as these people. The uncomfortable truth is we're in a fight on the right to save the republic, right? And we're trying to sort things out on the right. Everything to the left of center has lost touch with reality. I'll give you an example. I just did a debate with a up and coming Democrat commentator. His name is Isaiah Martin, and he's got a, you know, he's always featured on CNN, and he's young, and he does all these debates and whatnot. And we had this moment in our debate where I explained to him how NATO works and that the American taxpayer is, you know, provides the lion's share majority of funding and money to the NATO alliance. And he actually said, that's not true. I mean, you're a 32-year, you know, veteran, a colonel. And what do you think of a thing like that? Like, you know, do the American people and does America provide the majority of the money for NATO in your expert opinion, sir?
To this day, they do. Now President Trump is making some headway on that by insisting against all opposition that the NATO countries stop being vassal states and actually pony up for their own national defense because the United States has got other things it's got to do with our funding. That guy, I'm glad you told me that. I have to go look him up a little more.
Well, but it's my point.
Clips. Yeah.
Yeah, my only point in bringing it up is not only that he made that erroneous claim that America doesn't foot the majority of the bill for NATO, but you and I both know we also provide the logistical and technological backbone, which is a cost that can't necessarily be quantified in real dollars, right? I mean, you have your budget, and then there's the being the backbone of the alliance, which has, you know, kind of these hidden costs. But regardless, it's not that he made the erroneous claim. It's that so many people believe it.
Yes.
Which, for the life of me, it just, again, it goes to show you the other side of the aisle is unmoored from reality. We're not even working from the same baseline reality. Diplomacy demands that two groups of people who may have slightly different opinions are still working from the same baseline reality. That's gone. And that debate topic is an example. Like, in what world do we not foot the bill for Nate? First, we put in 62% of the money on paper, not to mention everything else we do. So it goes to show you again, and I implore the president every time I get a chance, sir, you've done everything you can possibly do to appeal to these people's reason. But when reason and logic break down, the logos breaks down, and our 250th anniversary, if we depart from the logos, God, truth, logic, reason, any more than we already have, I don't know that we save this republic without a lot of violence and death. And I actually think it'd be less violent if he just says, you know what, we're not letting in another 15 million foreign invaders, and we can't trust that you people won't do that. So until we come to a better political circumstance, I'm going to go ahead and keep the government and, you know, out of national security.
Oh, yeah, that would really get their get them in an uproar. We got to take another break, Royce. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the judiciary and what you want to do with that. Because come on, man, we can't even do subpoenas anymore. We'll be right back with Royce White.
Take a look at the water you just poured. It looks clean, it tastes fine, but what's really in it? Lead, fluoride, arsenic, chlorine, pesticides, PFAS forever chemicals, pharmaceutical residues, and bacteria. Every single day, these toxins flow straight from your tap into your glass, into your family. It's time for Century H2O from Worldview Water. Century H2O is the ultimate water treatment technology, designed to remove harmful toxins, balance your water's pH, and enrich it with essential minerals like calcium and magnesium, the way nature intended. From commercial-scale systems to whole-house filtration to crisp, delicious drinking water right at your kitchen sink and shower, Century H2O delivers cleaner, healthier water everywhere you need it. No plumber, no tools, no plumbing knowledge required. Perfect for homes, apartments, rentals, RVs, refrigerators, and more. Because everyone deserves access to clean, healthy water. Visit worldviewwater.net. That's worldviewwater.net.
Plus, judge has rejected DOJ subpoenas issued to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey over their refusal to cooperate with President Trump's federal immigration crackdown. The judge writing in his ruling that he feels the subpoenas were, quote, a blatantly unlawful and unethical use of the grand jury process. The Department of Justice has not yet responded to that ruling.
Welcome back to the Rob Mayna Show. It's Truth Thursday. My guest today is Royce White. He's a U.S. Senate candidate in Minnesota again, and an advocate. It's real simple. An advocate for America. I mean, come on, people. Royce, I have to show that clip because the judiciary is something I've been talking about for a long time. You've talked about it, I know. And most of us that have logic and reason and still believe in the basic structure of the nation are talking about the judiciary, but the people that have the power over it, the Congress, refuse to do anything about these guys.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, we judicial supremacy is what it is. And to think that a George Bush appointed judge who turned down these subpoenas doesn't show a broader lack of loyalty in the GOP from the neoconservative Bush foreign policy folks who really in secret hate the president's guts. And I think he knows it, but he's in a precarious position where I don't know if he sees a viable political path without those people. It's exactly what it is. I mean, and I try and tell this to patriots. I don't say this to be sensational. The night of long knives is coming for patriots. We have to understand. And these people are collaborators. They will aid and abet. And when the commies finally, you got to remember Bill Kristol, you know, a conservative thought leader extraordinaire. His father, his father was the intellectual thought leader of the entire neoconservative movement. Mm-hmm. And Bill Kristol throws in with Mom Dami, in this nation's darkest hour, What do people think that's a sign of? You think Bill Kristol's ideological following has, what, vanished? No, they're in there, and they're entrenched, not only in D.C., but throughout these courts nationwide. These people, at the opportune moment, will stab us all in the back, and I think that's part of what's going on right now, even for the Republican-appointed judges.
Yeah, if you understand crowd dynamics at all, and I know you do, at some point there is a tipping point. To quote Malcolm Gladwell, he's got chapters of them, of situations where he describes the tipping points in his book, The Tipping Point. But at some point in human dynamics of people as groups, so whether it's a crowd altogether or as groups in organizations like a government or even a corporation, everything, at some point the tipping point gets reached when things have gone awry from a governance perspective. And then the momentum takes over and it becomes uncontrollable as to what the outcome of that is. We got a question from the live audience. Let's go ahead and take that before we get too much further into this, and I'll let you respond to that. Go ahead, Joe.
We have Kat the Hammer, sir.
Hey, guys. I'm really glad you're here, Royce. You guys got me all fired up now. And I'm going to try to articulate as best I can. So here's the deal. Back a few years ago, when me and Shell started doing spaces, at the end of the night, I'd be saying, you guys got to hold the line. The barbarians are at the gate. Well, the barbarians are through the gates, my friends, and we are folding like a cheap suit. I don't get it. You got Mamdani sworn in with the Quran, and nobody's up in arms about it. When did we stop making people assimilate? Like, everybody is just, like, folding. So my question to you guys is this. I've posted about Mamdani, and some people kind of come at me like, well, freedom of religion, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but this is the United States of America. We require people, at least I thought we did, to assimilate to our way of life. Other countries do it. I don't know why we're not harder, more of a hard line about that. So we get a guy that gets sworn in New York, swearing in on the Quran. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. I don't care if it's popular or not. I don't think Islam is, I don't think it's a real religion. And I know people will argue that with me. I don't care. I do believe in freedom of religion, but I think it's crap. And do you think there's a conflict there? That's what I'm trying to get at. Do you think there's a conflict that some people are going, well, freedom of religion, so we can't say anything, so we got to be delicate? You got like the weaker Republicans that won't do anything. And I'm like, when are we going to get united? I know, Colonel, you say it all the time. If we don't get united as a party, how are we going to fight this? They're going to win. And I'm going to stop right there.
Let her answer. Thanks, Kat.
What's that? Sorry.
Let him answer. Go ahead, Royce.
Well, I think Islam is a religion about as much as communism is or secular humanism is, and they all are religions. And so it is a religion in that sense. But it, like the Colonel said, it is a political movement. Islam is a political agenda, and it has explicitly political aims in its faith practice, and to disregard that is just naive. And again, I think it's weak Republicans using it as an excuse. Look, a federal ban, for example, I gave the policy proposition of a federal ban. You can be Muslim in this country. You can be Muslim in private. You just can't hold a position in our government, in our military, or in our education system. And I think that sends a very strong message, which would mean you can't be a mayor of the city, of a city. You certainly can't be a transgender jihad, jihadist communist in charge of the world's financial capital. If any cities, I mean, hey, you know, little podunk Minneapolis here, you want to call five times to prayer. We're just a Fortune 500, hotbed. No problem there. But the world's financial capital you give over to a jihad communist, guys, does the word suicidal empathy and self-destruction register at all? And nations have died from it. And the Roman Empire is a great example. They died because they wanted to defend a global empire, or at that time what they felt was a global empire, and they didn't take the warnings of the barbarians who had overrun the streets of Rome, and we're still fighting that today, all through Western society and now here in America as well. But Europeans have already failed, and that's why the UK prime minister's resigned. I don't think he should resign. I think the royal family should resign. But hey, I'm a lunatic, right? But America, it's happening too. So
I'm never going to be pro royal family of any country ever,
right?
Because I'm an American.
Amen.
My ancestor walked out of his county as one of only five Scotch Irishmen in North Carolina. Everybody else was loyalist, and he said, "No, we're not doing the royalty thing." here. So I'm never going to be that way. It's in my blood. It should be in every American's blood.
Amen.
As I was listening to you talking, I remembered an article that I read in the last couple of days by Daniel Greenfield. Now, Daniel's a pro-Israel kind of guy, but it was a great historical article going all the way back to the days of Washington, Adams, and Jefferson when we were fighting the Islamists in the Barbary Pirates, Morocco. You know, it was a very good historical article because, you know, the people that are like fingernail deep in history will always go, well, Morocco's our longest time friend and ally. You know, it's our first alliance we've signed with and all that. But it came to that because they tried to kidnap Americans and steal, get them to pay tribute to let our ships pass. And eventually we had to put the herd on them. on Morocco to get them to sign an agreement, but then they broke the agreement and nobody could understand it. So they started studying the Muslims. They called them Muslimin back then. They realized these guys are always going to lie. It's their way of doing it. The only thing you can do to get them to the table is overwhelming force or threat of overwhelming force. You cannot deal with them in any other way. That's antithetical to the Republican form of government of the United States of America and every state.
100% agree. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. People would do well to go read that article. It's very good. Because there's a lot of lies out there and half-truths and all that stuff. We need to know how we've dealt with them before successfully and how we need to go in and deal with them today. We have to make a correction inside the country from the Islamist Marxist perspective. And if that's rewriting the anti-communism law to include Islamism and then enforcing it, that works. You know, if somebody wants to, like you said, I'm not opposed to a peaceful Muslim family being in the United States, but they have to sign up to some things. One is American law is not Sharia law.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if you've seen this movie that's coming out called Citizen Vigilante. Have you seen the clips from that? Our friends over at RAV are promoting it, Jack Posobiec and those guys.
Looks great.
It's got Armie Hammer in it as the star. It's unbelievable. But there's a scene in the movie where he's in a home with an Islamist man and his wife, and the wife has been on social media saying that a young girl that was raped by 9 Muslims deserved it because of the way she dressed and all that. And Hammer's looking at him, and he's got his gun out with a silencer on it. He is a vigilante in this movie. And he's asking him questions. Well, why did you even come here? Well, you know, the man says, we live in a place that's very dangerous and wars and everything. And the army asks him, he goes, yeah, but you're bringing your Sharia values here to America. You know what I think? I think we let the wrong people get out of your country and let them in here, and you need to go back. And that's the way we've got to be.
Oh, you know, I think we need to deport 15 to 20 million foreign invaders as an appetizer. And I think the President Trump administration will not get back on track in its effectiveness or in the eyes of the American people until one of three things happens. We secure our elections by executive order and with some force if need be. We restart the mass deportations. Or we have some serious arrests of the deep staters, one of which in most recent news would probably be Dr. Fauci, right, who Tulsi Gabbard just dropped an absolute bomb on in her final days as DNI. So if one of those three things doesn't happen, and I'm in favor of the mass deportations out of all three, I think the other two, well, the secure election should be first. I'll say that. But that's a complicated task. Yeah. I think the mass deportations would probably be the best good faith gesture that the commander in chief can give to the American people that this administration is going to get back on track here.
Yeah, that's a way to get this done quickly because it doesn't take very long. Because as you know, once the momentum gets going, people start leaving on their own instead of having to go through the process, which is very painful. All right, sir, we got to take our last break. When we come back, we'll see another clip. Ilhan Omar. I can't let you go without us talking about Ilhan Omar, the most famous Somalian Islamist terrorist in the United States Congress. We'll be right back with Royce White.
Introducing Worldview Tube Vault. Over 35 years of radio broadcasts, television programs, documentaries, and ebooks. Plus, Worldviewpedia, our powerful search engine for instant worldview and Bible research. Join for as little as $7.99 a month. And now, Vault members get something brand new, courses. Our very first course is here, the Book of Revelation with Brannon House. 53 in-depth lessons, complete with overview quizzes, walking you verse by verse through one of the most important books in Scripture. Getting started is simple. Go to worldviewtube.com/vault and join today. Already a member? Visit worldviewtube.com, click the person icon in the top right, and log in. Then hover over Vault in the menu and select Courses. That's it. You're in. Join WorldviewTube Vault today at worldviewtube.com/vault.
Certainly not. I mean, he's certainly supportive of whatever they're doing. And this is one of the other things that we need to address is the extent to which members of Congress find themselves getting wealthy while they're in Congress. In this case, it appears by being completely in bed with all of the fraudulent activity that's going on in Minnesota. Of course, we should investigate this. Of course, should we look into what they're scrubbing from their website. I think we've got to explore this as far as we can, including potentially looking into denaturalizing and removing Ilhan Omar if she's violated our laws. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we should also ban stock trading among members of Congress, since we're talking about the wealth of Congress, and I have a bill to do that, and I hope we will do that next year. Mike Johnson, the Speaker, is working with us to do that. We have got to stop all of this flow of dollars that is corrupting our system, empower the American people to do what they do best, and we've got to pause immigration. I introduced a bill to pause immigration.
Welcome back to the Rob Maynard Show. We're live on Worldview Tube, and our X-Space is simulcast, and my guest today is U.S. Senate candidate out of Minnesota, Royce White. A champion in his own right as a sportsman, but a champion for Americans. That's what you need to know. You're right. You're so right, Royce. The Minnesota's Senate race, especially, is a microcosm of the Trump effort against the establishment both times, that has fought so aggressively against him and his supporters and everything. You know, if only we could turn everything Chip Roy just said into reality, we could get on a track and maybe stop this momentum to that ultimately I'm concerned we're on, and obviously you are concerned we're on this path to where once that momentum breaks and the dam breaks, it'll be uncontrollable and a lot of lives will be lost.
Yeah, no doubt. it's a microcosm in a lot of ways here in Minnesota. One of which is the strength of the Republican establishment, the uniparty, and the, you know, their framework of politics and political strategy, which is dishonest, you know, in its basics. But even more so, you know, Ilhan Omar is like, what is even that, right? If there was a Mamdani before a Mamdani, it was Ilhan Omar. Right. And now she's kind of fallen to the wayside because he's the rising star. But, they're two peas in a pot, and they have the exact same ideology and the exact same disdain for this country and our values. And for the life of me, you know, we're fighting. I don't know whether it's fraudulent elections, if people are genuinely brainwashed, if it's a suicidal empathy. Regardless, it doesn't, you know, it's all the same result. The result is Minnesota and Minneapolis specifically, where Ilhan Omar is a rep, looks the way it looks for a reason. And if you want to see the best indicator, it's not about the crazy transgenders or the five times call to prayer. It's that in Minneapolis public schools, they have the second worst proficiency rating in the entire country. Mm. Where Democrats are in control, predominantly black students cannot read or write at a grade standard underneath their tutelage, because they run the entire teachers union in our state of Minnesota. If there's an indicator that anybody can look at that's bipartisan or should be sort of objective in its analysis, it's got to be our young people and their scholastics. And we're failing egregiously. And what do young black men do when they fail in school? They go to the streets, they end up killing each other. And that's kind of, is scary enough, that's what they want. I said earlier today on my show, young black men are the shock troops for a color revolution. And if we're going to allow that, we just don't have any sacred honor or self-respect.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, the education piece is just a part of it, as you know, Royce. You know, policies that drive families apart versus help bring them, you know, keep them together. All of those issues, and it's not just the black community, but it's you can see it most prevalently, and you can also see that people don't want to talk about it. And I didn't say Republicans or Democrats. I just said people don't want to talk about it and face the truth, so that we can address the issue and save these kids. These kids, man. When I ran for U.S. Senate in Louisiana, 75% of the prison population was young black men between the ages of 18 and 27. 75%, because, you know, we still had a Jim Crow law on the books, which fortunately we were able to get rid of. But that's just part of it. We've got to look at the pieces of our society, whether it's affecting black men or poor white kids in Appalachia, you know, or poor Hispanics up in Chicago or whatever. It doesn't matter. We can do it if we get away from these worthless politicians and policies. I got to ask you this question because I promised I would. You tweeted out, I think, or said something on your show about you're not suicidal. Why did you do that? Are you under threat?
Oh, anybody who talks the way that I talk is always under threat. I get death threats all the time, but you know, I'm a tough guy. I'm more worried about when I say stuff like that. I'm more worried about, you know, accidentally suiciding myself because Rob, I talk about things like the other day I was on my show and I said that modern monetary theory over a big enough time horizon is a debt trap for the entire working class. See, you know, I go right to the heart of how money works, and it just so happens throughout our nation's short 250-year history, when you poke at how the money works in America, bad things tend to happen.
Yeah, they do. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought up the Fed. You didn't say it, but that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't until the advent of that organization that here's the thing that happens. We spent billions, and it's probably trillions now, on eliminating poverty and homelessness in various populations. It never happens. It never happens. And I'm convinced that because we didn't have that level of poverty and homelessness pre-Federal Reserve and the control of monetary policy and those kind of things, did we?
No, we didn't. And the inflation of the currency, I would argue there's a direct correlation between the inflation of our currency since the inception of the Fed and the mass migration agenda worldwide. You have to print more money if you want to keep taking on more foreign invaders and giving them health care.
Yeah, and when your money is not based on something like a gold standard, then you're free to do that. That's why it was eliminated. You're free to just print money at will, and the more money you print, the more inflation goes up, the more it hurts who? The least of us.
The hidden tax. And I say that it's dangerous because there's a theater of right-left politics, as I said in the opening clip there you showed from this PBS Frontline interview. But when you look at how the money works, it's the strongest indicator of uniparty power. But for the Democrats, the Republican side is the only side who's even thrown the flag on the implications of monetary policy and fiscal conservatism. On the left, they're just kind of out in the open saying, we want the government big enough to blot out the sun. If that means that we have to bankrupt the working class and future generations, that's just the cost of doing business for them. And that should probably be the single greatest issue to deter people from ever voting Democrat again under any circumstances.
Yeah, because it's so deadly. You know, just a few days ago, Royce, I'm sure you caught this, the national debt now exceeds our GDP for the first time in the great United States of America, as economically powerful as we are. And we are still economically powerful. The monetary problems are self-inflicted. You know, Even with shutting down the Strait of Hormuz, essentially, it still has very little impact on most Americans from the perspective of their daily lives, except for when we go to the gas tank, and that's starting to come down too. But that is the issue, and I don't understand why we can't get people focused on the real issues. I mean, my goodness, we're sounding like a couple of Kennedys from 1960 talking about these challenges, like these challenges, and Donald Trump sounds a lot like him too. But we got to get him some support, like guys like you, to go in there. But can we actually say, can we get enough people like you in there? I mean, I've tried it myself. My wife, bless her soul, is not going to let me do it again. I'm too old for that. I'm pushing 65. But there's plenty of you guys out there. But when you get there, do you think you'll be able to have a positive impact and have reinforcements for a Trump-like policy, for these types of policies? I know I'm talking about Trump, but yeah. These are the types of policies that win with the American people because it's what puts them as the priority.
I think the best thing we can hope for is that President Trump has a clean break from this Republican establishment in a way where he encourages and empowers a proto third party, not an actual third party, but American patriots that run Republican and hold what you would call a Freedom Caucus. I'm not promoting the Freedom Caucus. I'm just saying something to that effect of American patriots in the Senate. Who can hold the sway on the majority, not have a majority, but hold the sway, a big enough voter block in the Senate to hold the sway on the majority, which I think is like the first step to us having a real shift, at least legislatively. But I'm past all of that. It, you know, in my heart of hearts, I hope the president of the United States has the courage to cement his legacy by keeping the government in this seminal moment, our 250th anniversary. And Abraham Lincoln did it. He suspended the habeas corpus to save the republic, and I think the amount of subversives that we have now, we're in a very similar position, even though it's inconvenient and uncomfortable for people to think.
Yeah, it is a very, very similar position, and I'm not necessarily talking about like states seceding necessarily as states, but people walking away from the idea of the country aggressively. I mean, we just saw the sentencing of these Antifa. This Antifa squad that pulled the ambush on an ICE facility in Texas. You have lawyers out there for them out there going, well, yeah, but they were just making noise. They're protesters and all that. That was a military ambush operation. They used military tactics, small unit tactics. They were well-armed. They were well-trained, obviously. That's the kind of effort I think you're going to see a larger increase in that as we get to that tipping point, if we don't get this system arrested.
Well, look at the ACLU money we found in some of these far, you know, right and left wing extremist groups. And you know, that's a footnote in the grand scheme of things, because our government has been funding these anti-American NGOs the entire time to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Royce, thank you so much for coming on. It was short notice too, but we always love having you on, especially if we're spreading the truth and getting the word out there. Help remind folks where they can find you in the campaign and how they can help you.
RoyceWhite.us, that's the campaign website. I'm on all social media platforms. We do 7 to 9 a.m. the White House Monday through Friday on Free People Radio's social media channels. Thank you, sir, for having me.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, man. God bless you. America loves you. America loves Americans. We want to be focused on being American, not left or right or even center. Focus on being American. This is a good time to take that opportunity to study the Declaration, study the Constitution, and the men and women that gave it to us so that we can honor them and keep it. I'll see you tomorrow on Truth Thursday. We're talking to John Thaler about his new book, Saving the Senate. I'm Rob Meenan.